Hey listeners, welcome back to That Triathlon Show for another minisode with some highlights from the full episode that will be released on Thursday. The topic that we have in store for you will be power rankings for swim sessions. So Jack and I will both rank our top five favorite swim sessions for improving your swim as a triathlete. I honestly thought at first that it would be an episode that leans more lighthearted entertainment almost than anything else. But when we finished recording, I found myself thinking that this was actually really educational and informative to a much greater extent than I had thought. So I hope that you'll agree with that assessment when you listen to the full episode. But here's a short preview for you, and especially for all of you listeners that find that you struggle to listen to the full episodes due to the length. But also if you want to preview what you will hear on Thursday and decide whether that's something that you're interested in listening to, you will hear a clip where we both go through our number four picks on the list of five. And of course, for the full top five list, plus a bonus session that I added, tune in to listen to the full episode on Thursday. Here you go. So what is your number four?
So number four, I have, this is a very specific session really towards guys and girls doing an IMR basically. And it's super boring, but this is the intent. 10 400s off 15 to 20 seconds rest at Ironman or close to Ironman effort. It's not something that is going to be used regularly. So I like to have this in there just to give people the confidence that they can get it done. And in an Ironman, you're in the water for a long time. It can be quite boring, especially if you're out there solo, you don't have any groups to swim with. And, you know, if it's a big one lap swim. And a lot of people have some kind of concerns whether they're going to be able to do the distance and how they're going to feel during that. You know, you may have done a couple of 2 kilometer open water swims or something, and you're kind of a bit finding the thought of doing the full distance a bit daunting. So having this kind of a session in there a couple of times in the build, it doesn't need to be many more than that, once or twice, is a really good way to kind of prepare mentally for what's to come on the day of the race. It does also serve as a very specific session physiologically as well, but the main reason is that mental durability, that kind of boredom tolerance that can be a little bit overlooked. So if you're, in terms of execution, I would still recommend that people look for a little bit of progressive or negative split kind of pacing. So build into it as you probably would look to aim to do on race day, but it gives you a good insight in how the fatigue builds or creeps in over a kind of swim of that duration. So it's also teaching kind of pacing discipline, and the focus for that back end is really holding the form together and making sure that we can stay efficient, knowing that you've got a long day ahead of you once you get out of the water. So yeah, very boring, very simple, 10 400s, 15 to 20 seconds rest, Ironman specific effort and session there for that one.
Yeah, I like that. I have used basically the exact same session quite a lot in my coaching and as an athlete. And yeah, it's a staple, I would say, for the final preparation period for an Ironman. We have to thank our sponsors, Precision Fuel Hydration. Jack, do you want to take this one?
Yeah, so Precision Fuel and Hydration, I've been using their products for many years now. And honestly, I've tried a lot of other products as well, but you really can't go wrong. It's not just the effort that goes into the products, but the research and the science behind it. They're an amazing resource. They have a lot going for them. Recently in the winter, I've been getting through a lot of their carb mix on the bike. And actually, this is the most efficient carbohydrate they sell in terms of cost effectiveness. So price per gram of carbohydrate, the carb mix is a great way to go in the winter when you're getting through a lot of carbohydrates. You don't necessarily have to be practicing the exact stuff you're going to be taking on race day, and you're just looking for fueling as best you can, a little bit of gut adaptation there, and yeah, Precision Fuel and Hydration. Check out their products. Not only do they do the carbohydrate mix, which has the electrolytes in there as well, they have obviously a great range of gels, hydration. They have some chews as well, which are amazing.
And they're delicious.
Delicious. Very delicious. Yeah. Check them out.
Yeah. And as a TTS listener, you can get 15% off your first order of 2026 by using the code TTS2026 on precisionfuelandhydration.com. Now then, my number four on my list is a VO2 max session. And this is also a session that I got from the squad that I was swimming in for a long time. And it's, well, you can vary it a bit, but I'm going to explain what we built up to basically after a couple of easier versions of it. But the main set, there would be four rounds of 8x25, and each round you do on a shorter interval, on a shorter send off time. So the first round you do it would depend on the lane, but the lane that I was in, I would swim the 25s probably on 16-17 seconds. So my first round, the send off time would be 35 seconds. The second round, the send off time would be 30, then 25, and then 20. So in the last round, you're getting just 3 to 4 seconds rest and when you're already tired. And to add on top of that, the eighth rep of each round would not be freestyle, but it would be butterfly. So that adds to the to making it quite brutal, because especially when you're not the most proficient at butterfly, it really takes it out of you. And then between each round, you would probably have a bit of passive rest and a 200 active recovery, and then you would go again. So decent rest between rounds. And so I guess the interesting thing about this session is that in that first round, you can go really quite fast. It's almost like a mix of speed and VO2, because you're getting slightly more than 1-to-1 work to rest ratio. So slightly more rest than a 1-to-1, in my example at least. If I was swimming those, probably that first round on 16 seconds and the send-off was 35, right? Which also takes it out of you then and adds some more, builds up lactate for then the subsequent rounds where you're suddenly forced to do it on slightly higher work-to-rest ratio than that 1-to-1 when it's going down and down and down again. So it really also, I think it's a great session to show the progress of your swimming endurance or swimming durability almost, because probably for me, I never felt that my speed in the first round changed too much from the first time we did it in the base training phase, usually until we were approaching the race phase. But what changed was really my ability to almost hold those same splits in the final round as I did in the first round. Not quite, but almost. Whereas the first time I might have done that, they fell apart much more. The idea is that you shouldn't let it fall apart. You need to pace it well enough that you don't fall apart, of course. But that's quite hard, especially when you do it in a squad. It's quite competitive and you have people all around you trying to do the same thing. So that's a really good set. It's effective. It's fun. I found it a really fun set, except for the butterfly, which I didn't find too fun. So, and this is a session that can just as well be done solo, of course. It's very easy to achieve. You just have to basically figure out roughly what is your split going to be that you swim the 25s on, and then you set the send-off, the cycles accordingly, so that you finish the last one with basically a very short rest period, whereas the first one you have pretty decent. And you can build up to this by, you wouldn't start probably with four rounds the first time you do it, but you start with maybe three rounds and maybe even the rest period that you get in the final round would be slightly higher the first times you do it, and you would shift those send off times accordingly as you get fitter and as you do it more times.
Nice, yeah. I guess you would maybe expect your kind of stroke and speed to fall off a little bit on a session like this, right? And it's probably not the worst thing if it does, because it's just the nature of it, right?
Within reason, yeah, absolutely. Like I think one second per 25 is almost inevitable. Mm-hmm. 2 seconds, at least for a few of them, can be fine. Probably, let's say if I was doing the whole first set on 16 seconds, then the final set might be, you know, a couple of 2, 3, 17s, and then, or maybe 3, 4, 17s and 4, 5, 18s. But then when you think about it, if you're doing 25s and you drop 2 seconds, that's already 8 seconds per 100, which is quite significant. So probably any more than two seconds for the 25 is probably too much of a drop off.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I do love the fact that you put the last rep there, butterfly. I actually don't have any medley or kind of butterfly in any of my sessions today, which is a bit of an oversight because I'm a big fan of adding some medleys and varying the strokes a little bit there. But I guess mainly I would typically do that in just general aerobic swimming. But yeah, I think that's an awesome touch to add that last rep there, butterfly. So much to be gained, right, in terms of just the power that you need to generate in order to swim fly. So yeah, I absolutely love that.
I actually forgot to say, and I forgot to write it down in my notes, but I'm pretty sure that what we did was that after that 8th rep, we would do a deck up and run around the pool because this was a private pool for the club. So we could do whatever we wanted, really. And we did that for lots of different types of sessions. And I found that was really, again, with the draft legal focus, especially, it's quite an important, valuable thing to do. And so you're doing that fly rep and your heart rate is through the roof. And then you have to pull yourself up onto the pool deck and keep running a lap around the pool. So that was added to the misery, but the misery that you somehow really enjoyed.
Yeah, no, that's super specific. And yeah, if you have the opportunity to do that, that's great. All right, should I go on to my number 3 now?
Yep, let's go with that.
I hope you enjoyed that, and please do try these sessions and let us know what you think. And the same, of course, goes for the complete list of sessions we'll discuss on Thursday. When you have that list, you'll have a lot of new sessions to try, and they are really, really effective. So I don't think you'll regret giving them a go. Before we close out this episode, just a few quick calls to action. Number one, feedback. We love getting your feedback. Email is the best way. You can reach me on michael@scientifictriathlon.com, Michael with a K. But you can also DM, and on Spotify, we have polls for all the main episodes. I haven't done it for these minisodes, at least until now. But if you listen on Spotify, in the poll, that will let you rate each episode. And I really do pay attention to that data. So make your voice heard there. That's one of the best places to give feedback. But of course, for more qualitative and in-depth feedback, nothing beats an email. And I read and answer to all feedback emails that I receive. Number two, if you're not subscribed to the podcast, please do subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Of course, I have some data that a lot of listeners are not subscribed. So yeah, make sure that you do that. Number three, we're on YouTube now. Just wanted to remind you about that. It's on Scientific Triathlon if you prefer watching to podcasts. And like the Spotify polls, the minisodes like this won't be there, at least for now, but the full episodes will all be up on YouTube. So yeah, subscribe there. Even if you prefer listening to podcasts, subscribe on YouTube does help. So that's something that you can do, a simple thing you can do if you want to support the show. And number four, I haven't mentioned this in a long time, but I do have a newsletter. And for a while there, it was quite dormant. But in the last few months, I've been sending it out almost every week. It's really in-depth content that complements the podcast episode each week. But from the feedback that I received from readers, it's a good balance of repeating some important points and adding to them sometimes, but also going a bit tangential and discussing something related that wasn't fully covered on the main episode. In my opinion, the very best of these newsletters are those that are associated with interviews that I do, because there I can add more of my own opinion, interpretations, and color in the newsletter than I do in the interview itself. But definitely the ones with myself and Jack, also, there's always something that I forget to say, and then I can add that in the newsletter. So if you're interested in that, go to scientifictriathlon.com/newsletter, and you can subscribe there. Or just go to scientifictriathlon.com. It's down in the footer of the website. There's a link to the newsletter subscription page. And it's free, of course. And finally, number five, do follow on Instagram @scientifictriathlonHQ. That's where I push out requests for questions ahead of episodes. So that's a good reason to be following along there. And that's it. I really appreciate all of your support so much. So thank you. Yeah, thank you for all that. Thank you for listening, reading, watching, whatever channels you follow along with. And tune in on Thursday for the full episode with many more great swim sessions to add to your arsenal. And until then, happy training.